Amen. Beautiful song, a great testimony. And I hope that it reminds you that when we do something for the Lord under His leadership, indeed a difference will be made. And if it's the Lord is involved in it, there's a difference that's going to be made in somebody's life. And it's probably going to be a difference made in the messenger's life as well, as the Lord blesses that messenger in their obedience. Pastor, I almost brought this up to you a few moments ago. Last night I was holding the order of service, and Brother Brandon was very kind to me to give me an order of service tonight in about a 35 font. And just real blessing. He has the gift of edification, and I appreciate that about him. And we like to have fun. A missions conference is a good time, and I love the staff here. And I love just the fellowship that they have, the respect and love that they have for one another. And it's a blessing for us when we come into a church like this and we're able to fellowship with the staff and the church family. And so many of you, thank you for your patience. You know that we travel quite often and you come up and you don't say, what is my name? And hold me to that. Usually we'll come to that, or I'll remember or associate some events. So if you're my best friend and I haven't called you by name, please come up to me and remind me why I'm your best friend, okay, if you'll do that this week. But we really are enjoying getting to know you again and kind of catch up on some of the details that we've missed out on since our last visit here, and we're looking forward to the next few days. Tonight we're going to be in Mark chapter number 4 again. Mark chapter number 4, I think this is the first time that I've ever gone back to the same text two nights in a row with two different messages. That's not because we got it wrong last night. The reason last night, it wanted us to see the character of Christ and what he was trying to do, not only in the life of the disciples that were there with him, but also in the lives of those that were there and witnessing what Christ was doing at that period of time. Tonight I want to focus in the same passage of Scripture. I want to focus some attention about the call of Jesus. I want to talk about really or preach for a few moments, not just talk about it, but preach about what it means to be called by Christ and some of the things that we assume about that calling that really aren't true. Some other things that we've never thought about that might be true, I want to bring those from the Scripture tonight. There are actually several different passages of Scripture that we could go to this evening and talk about the call of the Lord Jesus, because there's so many examples of it in the Scripture. But tonight I thought, because the story is familiar, we just talked about it last night, then we could just really jump right in to this event and put ourselves there, make ourselves one of the disciples, and see just exactly what it would be like to be in that moment of time with the Son of God as he gave them a command and they went forward doing exactly what he said to do. Let's read Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 35 again. It says, in the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Let us pass over to the other side. Last night I talked to you about the night the Lord called me to missions and how that it was so direct. And I guess you would say argued with the Lord. I certainly debated with the Lord and thought maybe he was talking to somebody else. I sat in the wrong seat that night. Maybe I had spaghetti before church and the indigestion was speaking. I didn't know what was going on, but I just didn't feel that his calling on my life at that time, it did not make sense. Tonight, this particular calling, this particular event, was not something they didn't expect. But as they obeyed him and his directive that we just read, let us pass over to the other side, they were not prepared for some of the things that they were about to experience. The first thing I want us to notice in verse number 35 that we just read is the companionship of the call. Oftentimes we talk about the Lord Jesus always going before us. But when we say that, really, do we consider the fact that the Lord is everywhere all of the time? We talk about he's being omnipresent. In our minds, we really can't conceive the fact that he's everywhere all the time. But when we begin to think about his presence is everywhere, he is already where he's asking you to go. He is already at your neighbor. He's already in Africa. He's already in Venezuela. He's already in Peru. He's already in the Philippines. All of these places in Ethiopia, I don't know where they are tonight. I haven't found them in the auditorium. There you are, Brother Bundy. He's already in Ethiopia. They're going there Monday, but God's already there, brother. When we think about the companionship of the call, notice what he said to them. He didn't say you're going alone. He said, let us pass over to the other side. Here's a common misconception. When we feel like the Lord is calling us, we try to give ourselves the credentials to get the job done, as if God has recognized what we're capable of. And even though we feel inadequate at the time, we still feel like God's counting on me to get this done. Here's the thing we need to understand. The Lord is already there. The Lord is already working, and he's allowing you to come along and be a part of what he's wanting to do. I think that gives us the right and the proper mindset. It doesn't matter if you're out door knocking on Saturday, or if you're witnessing to a neighbor or someone, or even if you're praying about the faith promise. Understand, God already has a purpose. God already has a plan. He's inviting you to get on board with him, and he's not going to leave you alone. The companionship of the call is he already has it figured out. He knows the final total on the new building, Pastor. He's not giving it to you because you can't handle it. No, I'm just teasing. No, the thing he wants us to do is, no matter what the circumstance, he wants us to understand he has the plan. And the companionship is, it takes the pressure off of me. It simply requires my obedience to get on board and to be a part of what God's going to do. I love this idea. Let us pass over to the other side. You know, there are some scriptures that we read that we can look at tonight. I'm not going to ask you to turn there for sake of time, but Isaiah 45 and verse number 2, it says, I will go before thee. I love to hear that. I love to think about the fact that when the Lord, last night I shared the story about Stan. The Lord had already been working on Stan. The Lord had already brought Stan to the place where he was ready at that particular moment to look at his phone and said, God cares about me when he needed it most. His father was the same way. I'll never forget. I'd been witnessing to him for years, or attempting to get through a gospel presentation with his dad. His dad had a heart attack. And when I found out about the heart attack, he was at home and recuperating. And when I pulled up in his driveway, he met me at the front door. He opened the door and he said, we need to talk. Again, I can't plan for that. But when the Lord said, let us pass over to the other side, he knew who was on the other side that we read about in chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 2. When they got off the boat, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs. The Lord knew about him being there. The companionship is that he wanted them to go with him so that they could watch God's work in action. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 9 says, for we are laborers together with God. It's not us and God, it's us with God, doing what he's left us here on this earth to do. The second thing I want us to see in verse number 35 is the clarity of the call. Now, what do I mean by that? He told them exactly what they were going to do. He said, let us, and then these very simple words, pass over unto the other side. Now, here's the thing. When you and I look at this particular portion of scripture, or if the Lord is dealing with us directly, we say, what's on the other side? What do you mean, Africa? What do you mean, Ethiopia? What do you mean, that neighbor? We need clarity, but honestly, the only clarity we need is the fact that there is a need. He wants us to be involved, and he said, let us pass over to the other side. It's not, Brother Scott, it's not what's over there. It's about the journey with the Lord to accomplish his purpose. You know, when we think about this clarity of the call, if the Lord had told me all that would happen while we were in Venezuela, I'd been like, time out. Clarksville, Tennessee suits me fine. If I'd known, I'd been pumping gas with a military guy with an AK-47 standing right next to me. I'd been like, I don't know about that. If I'd heard about some of the other things that we went through that I've talked about here in the church, that were difficult times to go through, I would have balked at the call. But the Lord, He knew I would be fine because He was already there. He knew that He would take care of me. He said, just listen to the clarity of the call and go to Venezuela. I'm going to take care of it. We're going to see great things happen if you'll just simply be obedient to me. You know, I look at this calling that He gave them. It's not comprehensive. What do I mean by that? It was missing mission objectives. It was missing contingency plans. It only required simple obedience to something that they were already very familiar with, and that's sailing. It wasn't a big deal for these guys to get on that boat. And He said, guys, let's pass over to the other side. We'll deal with the other side when we get there. He had already dealt with it, but he's sharing them this. You say, what does this mean about the call? The great thing about the call is when the Lord asks you to do something, just have the faith to believe that He's involved and He's really preparing the way for you. Brother Bundy, the Lord was never worried about your deputation. He wasn't worried about your schooling. He's not worried about your trip to Ethiopia. My mom worried enough for her and the Lord when we did all those things. But the truth is, God's not worried because He is all powerful. He knows your needs, and He's going to work in your life, Brother Bundy, just as you're seeking to work in the lives of Ethiopians. He's going to grow you in grace and knowledge and truth and experience. And the next time you're standing in the United States, you're not going to be the same person. Not because of a haircut, not because of a new suit. You're going to be different because you're going to know God in a way that you do not know Him tonight. That's the wonderful thing about the obedience to God. He gives us His companionship. He gives us clarity. You say, yes, 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 but no, no, no. Put those statements to the side and say, yes, yes, yes. No, but. We see the companionship of the call. We see the clarity of the call. Now, I want you to notice the confidence of the call. Let's continue reading. We'll start in verse number 36 and continue on. It says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now think about this for a second. I stopped on purpose because I don't want to miss the point. The Lord Jesus is about to take them out of their comfort zone. Okay? They're obedient. But He's about to stretch their faith. And the Lord works this way. It's amazing because He allows you to go through some circumstances that He is in complete control of so that you know Him in a greater and more meaningful way. These men knew the way of the sea. They knew the currents. They knew the winds. They knew the storm patterns. And yet He used those very same things that they were experts in order to teach them more about His power and what He was capable of doing. Look at this again as we begin or continue reading. Verse number 38. The ship is now full, and He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. How many of you have ever traveled with a teenager? They have this uncanny ability. The moment you pull out of the driveway, even though they just slept for 12 hours, to lean over on a pillow and go completely unconscious and only wake up to refill their drink. I don't know how they do that. When I think about the Lord Jesus in the hinder part of the ship, I think about that really calmness in His heart and His spirit. He was not upset. He was not worried. He knew exactly where He was going. He knew exactly who was in control. And He knew exactly what God wanted Him to do. That was go to the other side and everything would be revealed there. But along the way, He's able to sleep on the pillow because He has complete confidence that His Heavenly Father is still in control. Let me tell you, there's been some times in my life where I question whether or not God was in control. I'm ashamed to say that, but I'm just being honest with you tonight. I spoke with you, I think it was a couple of years ago, about the night that we had the break-in in our home and the men had our daughter and had a knife to her throat. Let me tell you, I was not prepared for that. I did not see that on my pre-field sheet that they gave me at BIMI. By the way, 3 months in, this is going to happen. No. But you know what happened that night? The Lord lost no sleep because the Lord knew that the safety of my daughter was in his control. He knew the heart of those men that had my daughter and had a knife to her throat. He knew they were right at the verge of being at their lowest point and realizing their need of a Savior. I didn't know any of those things. And yet as the situation progressed and we made it through that night and the Lord made it abundantly clear from Scripture that we were supposed to stay, even though I was ready to call my home pastor and ask for tickets, I don't know any sending pastor who wouldn't buy tickets on that particular night. But my phone didn't work for 3 days. Again, he's asleep in the hinder part of the ship because he wasn't concerned. Get this right. He's concerned about us, but he wasn't concerned about the situation. It was under complete control. He knew in the boat that with the whisper of his voice, the very wind that he created would stop. That particular night, the Lord knew how far it would go. He knew what he was going to do in us through it. He knew what he was going to do in those men. And I remind you what happened 2 weeks after that attack in our home. Two of the three men showed up at our fledgling church plant. And they talked to the other missionary that met them at the door, didn't know who they were. Met them at the door and they said these words. We came to find out if God could ever forgive us for what we did to that man's daughter. When I think about the peace and tranquility and control that Christ had, it all came through the confidence of who he was and whose mission he was on. My friend, when the Lord calls us to do something, he's going to go with us. He's going to be clear when we need clear instructions, he's going to be very clear, but he's going to be with us with confidence, knowing that no matter what happens, God is in control and we can trust in him. Let me give you another thought here tonight. Not only the companionship, the clarity and the confidence of the call, but let's talk about the confrontation of the call. Look at verse number 40, if you will. And he said unto them, why are you, well, let's back up a little bit. He was in the hinder part of the ship, verse number 38, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, I'd like to read a little sarcasm in that statement. Master, you hear the sarcasm? They know who he is. I think they respect him, but still, you know, you are the master, but carest thou not that we perish? Remember, you said, let us pass over to the other side. Now, carest thou not that we perish? I think it's a genuine emotion that's being expressed here. And so we see verse number 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And then he confronts them. He said, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? You know, what manner of man is this, it says in the next verse, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Imagine Jesus standing and talking to the wind and calling it by name. There's been times when I've been flying that I wished I could call the wind by name. I mean, I'm at altitude and I suddenly realize the headwind is so strong that the cars underneath me are going faster than I am. That takes all of the joy out of flying. What's the point, right? The idea is there's some times in my life where I would like to change the circumstances and I would like to have the power over them. But the Lord knows I don't need power over those things because I would abuse that power. Sometimes that wind is on purpose. But when he needs to stop it, we need to understand he can. He can stop it. He can protect your daughter. He can bring folks into your church. He can meet the needs of your building program. He can increase the faith of the church and see faith promise increase in a church when folks are trying to figure out how are we going to be able to do this as they do their budget. Let me tell you, my friend, we walk by faith and not by sight. My wife and I were in Bible college. There was a man that came in to do a missions module. Some of you may have heard his name before, but his name is Daryl Champlin. When he was the age of 22 in 1954, he and his wife and their baby David arrived as missionaries in the Belgian Congo in Africa. For 10 years, they lived deep in the jungle. You probably know them, don't you? Lived deep in the jungle. They had two more children while they were there, but they lived basically like jungle rats. You don't have a lot of choice when you're in the jungle. You just get by. People say, what is it like to live? It's work to live in the jungle. Every day is just laborious, just to get regular things done, to get water, to do laundry on the rocks in the river, all of those things. For 10 years, the Champlin family lived there in the jungle. In the mud and stick house and dirt floors. It's where Jonathan and Deborah were born. But in that time frame, 13 churches, 7 Christian schools were established, and 36 national pastors were trained. The message for us as we look at this particular scripture is the same one that it was for Brother Champlin back in 1954. Let us pass over to the other side. He doesn't tell us the duration of our trip. It doesn't always tell us the folks that we will meet when we're there. But I want you to understand tonight, the Lord always has a plan. You know, as a young person, perhaps is sitting here, and you could be an older person, but as a young person sitting here in this auditorium, you might be thinking, what could I possibly do that would make a difference? Say yes. You say, well, that's not that big a deal. You don't know. You say, well, my upbringing is not the same as someone else in the church. God knows. You say, well, I don't have the training, or I have learning disabilities. No, no. Stop discrediting God's power. And just simply say, yes. Enjoy the fact that when he says, let us, he's already with you. The same God that called you, the same God that saved you, is the same God that's with you in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And he's preparing the path before you. He's coming behind you. He's making all things right. He's directing your path. He's telling you left and right and straight. He's telling you stop. He's saying slow down. He's saying speed up. All of the timing, all of the plans, all of the contingencies are on him. That burden is on him. He just simply says, let us pass over to the other side. Hey, just get on my boat and let's go. We can take time tonight and look at chapter number 5 and see how that the demoniac from Gadara, he is that man that the Lord Jesus was going over to reach. The disciples, they were able to rejoice in that because they had been through this first lesson of finding out this is what he had in mind all along. He wasn't scared of the wind. He talked to the wind. Can you imagine the chatter? Did you see what he did and the waves listened? I'd be talking, amen. I'd have something to say. I'd be, do that again. That was really cool. No. I would just be dumbfounded, and the disciples were. When they got to the other side, it all made sense. He has power over creation. We just witnessed that. And now he has power over the spirit world. We've never seen something like this. This man that we called master sarcastically a few moments ago, he's not like anything we've ever seen. And as they walked with him and listened to him and served with him, their faith was increased and that power was transferred to them, and they represented the Lord Jesus Christ till the end of their days. My friend, you and I are representatives of Christ now. Do not miss opportunities when he's trying to demonstrate in your life what he's capable of doing. When I was in the 9th grade taking Algebra 1, I'll never forget, my best friend was in the class with me. And I mean, algebra's fun. I mean, it's not really numbers, but it's letters that act like numbers, I think. I did really well, if you can't tell. That was a long time ago, actually. But I remember the teacher coming by as we were there in the class one day, and my best friend, he was struggling with it, but he played basketball. That's what he wanted to do. And the teacher came by one day, and he said, he took his paper, and he said, "You'll never get it." I didn't think much about it. I was like, well, that's kind of rude. I mean, I thought about that as a 15-year-old. Wow, why did he say that? But you know what? My best friend took that mentality that I'll never be able to do anything. And he got a menial job, and he stayed with that menial job for a long time. Just recently, within the last 2 years, he's a very smart person, a lot of common sense. He had a lot of abilities and talents that may not have worked out in the classroom, but he was very creative. I mean, he could make some of the funniest videos. He could talk you into doing something it took a long time to get over. But he had an ability to entertain people. But then just 2 years ago, he invented something very, very simple once you look at it, but no one else had thought about it. And I called him just a few weeks ago, and I was checking on him, and he lives down in Pensacola, Florida. And I said, "How are things going?" He said, "Well, I'm still working at Sam's Club." And I went, "Really? Okay." I said, "How's that going?" He goes, "Well, I'm thinking about quitting, just going full time in the business." I said, "Well, how's the business going?" He said, "Well, we sold $1.5 million last year." He said, "I can barely keep up with the orders." I said, do you have a facility, or where are you doing?" He said, "No, I'm still building them in my shop out behind my house. I've been in that shop. It's like 10 by 12. And he's building these things. And I thought back to that time in algebra class. He's probably long forgotten about it. And somebody said, "You'll never get it." My friend, if you have that mentality that you'll never get it, put it down. Because the Lord knows who you are. He knows what you're capable of. He created you. But let me tell you, he has some things that he wants to show you that are far beyond anything you could imagine. I told you about the Lord calling me to be a pilot, and I laughed out loud because I was blind in my right eye. I thought about this so many times, so many of those airstrips I've landed on, that I knew the level of training it took to be qualified to even land on those airstrips. And I think back to the times in my life I said, "You can't do that. Don't be silly. It sounds cool, but don't be silly. Don't jeopardize your life and the life of other people." And the Lord said, "Follow me. Let's pass over to the other side. Let's get through the storm. I'm going to show you what I'm capable of." And he healed an eye that I hadn't been able to see in my entire life. Do not discredit the power of the Lord. Do not discredit his calling. Last night we saw his character. What is he trying to do? He's trying to heal people. He's trying to reach people. He's trying to change lives. He's trying to change the lives of families like we heard about tonight. It's not just one. It's the family. It's the extended family. It's even more than that. It's folks in the neighborhood. God has intentions. He has plans that he wants you to be a part of. And all we simply have to say is, "I'm on board. Let's go." Last night I said, "Can you hear him? Can you hear him calling? Can you hear him tugging at your heartstrings?" Tonight I say, don't just listen to the call. Don't just feel the emotion of him tugging at your heart and the need that is out there, the fields that are wide unto harvest. Tonight I want you to pick up your feet and say, "I'm going to step on board. I don't know where it's going, but I'm going to step on board." You don't have all the details. You're missing the contingency plans. But you're willing to say, "Lord, you did it in Brother Baggett. You did it in Brother Pittman. You've done it in the life of Brother Anderson and countless other missionaries that have gone before me. You've done it in the life of Daryl Champlin. I'm here and I'm ready." Are you willing to say yes to him? Are you willing to say, "I'm one that he's asking to get on board, and I'm going to get on board and I'm going to trust him"? Let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a moment. The question tonight is, are you willing to say yes to him? Are you willing to take that step? You say, well, I want more information. No, he just wants simple obedience. Just trust him. No, I have to have it. No, you don't. Just trust him. Walk by faith. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy his power. And obey his voice. Who would say here tonight, Brother Brian, I know that the Lord has been tugging at my heartstrings. Tonight, I understand what he's trying to do in my life. Maybe not completely, but I know he's trying to impact my life and the life of others that are around me. And tonight I'm ready to surrender and say, Lord, I'm ready to pass over to the other side. You say, I don't know what that means, but I'm ready to say, let us pass over to the other side. I'm ready to see his power demonstrated in my life at a whole new level. Brother Brian, here's my hand right now. All around the auditorium, I see your hands, hands all over the auditorium. I'm ready to go to the next level. I'm ready to say, yes, Lord, whatever you would lead me to do, I hear you, but now I'm stepping on board. Here's my hand, Pastor. I want you to pray for me tonight all over the auditorium. I see your hands. And in just a moment, if you raise your hand, I want to ask you to do this. Just a moment, we're going to be singing, Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. If you're able, I would like for you to step out of your seat and come down and kneel here at the altar, or maybe stand on the front row if you're unable to kneel, and just simply say, Lord, here I am. I've taken the first step. I'm coming to you tonight. I'm coming to the altar as a testimony of what you're doing in my life. I'm stepping on the boat, and I'm going to trust you. Our Father, as you are working in the hearts of folks that are here tonight, I pray that you would give them the courage to take that step. Lord, you are confidently on our boat. You are not worried about the journey. You're not worried about the destination or the obstacles that may or may not appear. You are in complete control. Lord, that should give us great confidence as we seek to follow you, just to get on the boat, without the need of all of our plans and credentials, just to get on the boat and watch God move. Lord, I pray that you'll give us the courage to do that tonight in Jesus' name. Would you stand to your feet, your head bowed, your eyes closed? If God's speaking to your heart, even right now as the music begins, why don't you come? The altars are open. There's no hurry. If the Lord's speaking to your heart, if you simply want to say, Lord, I'm taking that step of faith. I want to step onto the boat, and I want to trust the Lord. Here's my first step of faith. I'm coming tonight. Would you come?
Hey, if you look up this way, all he wants to hear is yes. I can do anything that I call you to do. Don't miss tomorrow night's message. He sort of gave me a little insight. Surrender to go, but called to stay. Many times I've asked you to surrender, but the message tomorrow night is, how do you surrender to go and yet completely comfortable stay? He's going to share that with us tomorrow night. Being the will of God by saying, Lord, yes. And being excited that he's called us to stay. You realize the Lord could not call, at least I pray he could not call, 50% of our church to go to the mission field. But he does call every one of us to say yes. Then he can use you to witness to your neighbor. Then he can use you to witness to the guy at work. Then he can use you and I to teach our children that your God is real. And they can see it too. And folks, I want you to know, I'd rather my grandchildren and Jeremy and Mandy see that my God is real, so that they go forward serving the Lord because they know he's real. And you only get that when you say yes and you're happy where the Lord's called you. The Lord's not going to call everybody here to go to the mission field. Surrendered to go, but called to stay. Don't miss tomorrow night's message. I trust many of you said yes tonight. That's what the Lord's asking for. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the tremendous message. Lord, touch all of our hearts. Say yes. But I don't think that one of those disciples got in that boat knowing that storm was coming. They'd made excuses, gone someplace else, waited. But Lord Jesus, they wouldn't have seen your power over creation or your power over the underworld. Lord, your power over everything. Lord Jesus, help us all to continue to say yes day by day and see you work and trust you. Give us traveling mercies tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Come back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. May the Lord bless you for coming.